For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Hoop Ballers, how's it going? This is Devin, not the Duke Ellington. I am joined by Neil Rochlani, and this is Tuesday, February something, 18th. Neil, how's it going?
Yeah, I know. We're recording the night before, so it gets a little confusing. Yeah, the 18th of February. Doing well. Looking forward to talking non-NBA betting, I guess, because there's no game scheduled tomorrow or Tuesday night. So, nothing on the card, but I know you've got plenty of sports you want to talk about, so we can hop on there and perhaps also talk about some betting strategies that we've been exploring this season. So, yeah, doing well. Yourself?
You know, hanging in there. Had a pretty fun and productive weekend. Looking forward to getting some NBA back in my life, that's for sure.
Yeah, this is weird. Like, it hasn't been that long where they've done this, right, where the All-Star break is like an entire week. I'm used to it being like 4 days, and now
right.
It just feels so long.
Yes.
It's weird. I guess
so. Well, yep. Soon enough. And we'll be diverse in what we discuss, just like our sponsor is diverse. And that is mybookie.ag. They're diverse in the fact that they give you all sorts of stuff to bet on. They already have the odds for the PGA Puerto Rico Open up. They got Trump candidacy odds. They got all sorts of NHL and XFL futures. So if you are not diversifying your betting portfolio and putting some money into another book, which it's smart to do so, I would definitely recommend mybookie.ag. You can bet, you get paid, you win, and quick payouts. They take care of you, 24/7 customer service. And we have a promo code today, T-O-D-A-Y. For a 50% match up to $2,000. So put $2,000 in, you get $1,000 back. You get half your money back. And that's pretty good math, if I must say, Neil.
It's fantastic. What's the turnaround time on getting paid? I haven't cashed out yet.
It depends on the active bonuses that they have going on that you used with deposits. I know it changes here and there, but from what I've seen, very, very, very fast. I've never had any issues with them, so I can't complain.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah.
Well, as we all know, the All-Star game break, whatever you want to call it, has come and gone. And figured we'd do a slight little recap of just the main components of what was of the All-Star weekend. Now, Neil, did you happen to see Buddy Hield beat Devin Booker at the last ball in the three-point contest? Or
I missed
you were in a lake house, right?
I was in a lake house in the great state of Wisconsin, and I missed everything because there was no there's no television connection up there. So I missed it all. Buddy Hield is a phenomenal shooter. You said he beat out say that again.
Devin Booker.
Oh, Devin Booker, obviously a fantastic shooter as well. That's great that he won. I heard they had like some four-pointers or something, like longer shots. Is that correct?
Yeah. So they added two at the top of the key, just slightly left and slightly right to the middle of the key.
Mm-hmm.
Deep range shots. So
did anyone hit those?
I think a few guys did. I know probably Trey Young dropped one or two in there. He likes it from that deeper range. So, I thought it was a cool new component to add to a classic competition here.
Yeah, I'd love to see him do more of that.
Yes.
Maybe have like five shots from like way deep.
And, Like a half rack.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be fantastic. Buddy Hield is a deserving winner. I've always loved him shooting the ball. He's such a pretty stroke. And it's good to see him he got that contract in Sacramento, and now he's obviously playing very good basketball. So good for him.
Absolutely.
All right. What's up? What was next on the weekend card?
So the dunk competition. I've never seen so many 50s in the final round of a dunk competition. It's kind of like they were handing sympathy 50s out, I think. It came down to Aaron Jones and Derrick Jones Jr., two guys that were the odds-on favorites, respectively 1 and 2. And both runner-ups from past dunk competitions. So I think a lot of people suggested or thought that this was going to be the case. Derrick Jones Jr. ended up winning over Aaron Jones to be a slight underdog upset. But a lot of people are saying that Aaron Gordon got robbed.
Yeah, I saw there was something where there was going to be a tie, but then they didn't want to let in a tie. And so maybe Dwayne Wade, because he's a Heat guy, gave it to Derrick Jones. I don't even know. I'm not even – like, to me, it doesn't make a difference, obviously.
Right.
Only if I had bet on it, I guess, would it matter. So,
sure. Yeah. Well, speaking of the Miami Heat connection, Bam Adebayo won the skills competition. The gentleman had – the lowest odds on to win at plus 1,100. And another big man won this competition. You know, I was reading an article about not counting the big men out in this this kind of a competition. And Pascal Siakam was a favorite, fan favorite. You know, he's at plus 600, so he's getting some long shot bonus money in there to win it. And that's who went against Bam in the finals. Bam Adebayo ended up winning. It was a really cool competition to watch.
Did you place any money on these?
So I put a little bit on – so I hedged. I put Buddy Hield and Devin Booker there. Buddy Hield was plus 550, and I had Devin Booker at plus 600 in the three-pointer. And then I actually went with Pascal Siakam at plus 600, and he got bet down to like plus 550, I think, before it finalized.
Mm-hmm.
And, so it was cool to see my guys and my picks that I thought were going to do well perform.
Yeah, you came very close to getting both those.
Yeah.
Did you get a rob on the dunk contest?
The field was so small, and I think it came down to two guys, and I didn't really see a lot of value in either one. So
okay, yeah.
I just I wanted to enjoy a good one, and it was pretty interesting, to say the least. So. Well, moving on to some like futures style of stuff here. I know we talked a little.
Oh, let's talk about the game. You're bearing the lead. What about the actual game? Did you watch it?
Oh, the All-Star game. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, no, I watched the fourth quarter, and then it was cool to see how they were competing down the stretch and fouling, and they changed the format this year, so it was the players had something to play for.
I saw Kawhi got the MVP. Would you think that was deserved?
Yeah, there's a lot of guys that played really well. Down the stretch, he had some decent plays. Of course, defensive efforts. He kind of went through his phases of having control over that game, which is hard to do against some perennial all-stars like that.
Yeah, those guys are so talented. It's amazing. It was good to see that. I didn't get to see it, but I'm glad they tried really hard down the stretch because – when you have that much talent on the floor, you wanted to see them compete at the highest level.
And right.
Usually it's not that type of game. So I'll try to go back and watch it.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. You know, they had charity money up for grabs for each quarter. So each team, you know, whatever team won the quarter won $100,000 to go to a charity of that team's choosing.
Mm.
So, you know, there was, so to say, there's money on the line.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of money from my perspective. So, yes, that's great.
I hear it. Yeah, I know we were discussing maybe throwing out some betting methods out there for some of the listeners. We've been getting some questions and feedback on Twitter as of lately. Folks just kind of wondering about money management, bankroll, as far as, you know, basic beginner to novice, you know, experiences and what they should expect getting into betting and such. Now, you're a little more seasoned in this than I am. That's not an old joke, I promise. But what would you say is important as far as being a bettor and making sure that you set yourself up for success? Is there one thing that majority of folks should know and know how to do, in your opinion?
Well, money management is huge because you are going to have times, no matter how good of a bettor you are, where there'll be long, hopefully, win streaks, but there'll also be long losing streaks. Not long, but I mean, there could be several in a row. Even if you take a coin that, let's say, that is 50-50 and you flip it 100 times, there'll be plenty of times where it's five heads in a row and five tails in a row, or maybe even 10. So that's going to happen in your betting, even if you're a profitable bettor. So you never want to increase or, you know, bet too much of your stake on one bet. I limit myself to 2.5% of my bankroll per bet.
Gotcha.
And I don't increase that until at the end of the season. Like, maybe the next season I'll go in with a different one. But I don't change that for the entire NBA season. And also, some people, I know there are many methods where you're like, if you have your edge is, you can increase your bet, like the whole like betting models there. But I don't feel comfortable enough to know exactly what my edge is, because I'm more betting on motivation, which is very hard to quantify, but sometimes you can see it. And so I don't put in, like, you know, a half a unit and then a unit and two stars or, you know, all that stuff. It's the same. I flat bet. And okay. That just seems to work for me. How about you?
Yeah. So for me, I think a lot of my basis revolves on the amount of effort that I put into it, as far as trying to find, you know, and you hear it in my numbers, especially with some of these smaller smaller college basketball picks. I really try to get through the nitty gritty and sift through and finding some really nice nuggets. I really like numbers and stats and trends, and also the gut feeling of understanding what you're seeing with your eyes. And if you're a big enough fan of a sport, you're going to watch enough of it. You're going to realize some things and see some trends and happenings. So I think for me, since I'm a little less seasoned, I am still such a ginormous sponge and taker in of the game. And so I'm always looking at new stuff to learn and new knowledge in order to help translate to my betting style, which I think is a little bit more analytically driven. But that's the cool thing about betting, is that there's not one correct way to do it. And, you know, the best handicappers and sports bettors out there, those professionals, quote unquote, you know, they win at 60% at best of the time. So that means, you know, 40 to 45% of the time they're losing, just like we are. So, you know, it's pretty, it's a science that everyone's trying to figure out. But if it was that easy, we'd all be living in Vegas or another legalized state, and we'd all be millionaires, and it would be wonderful.
Yeah, no, it's also a betting. You have to go in with that. That the good point is also, if you're someone who feels like every time you lose, that's like, that means you're not good at it. It's going to be really hard to stay with it, because you are going to lose almost as much as you win, and
sure,
that's all you're trying to do, you know. So it can be frustrating if you think you got a couple of things wrong in a row that maybe this isn't cut out for you. It's definitely
right.
A long-term proposition.
Right.
So,
now I wanted to pick your brain on one other thing as far as the way betting is nowadays.
Yep.
How in your eyes and what you've seen, how has the betting scene changed with more normality and legalization? I mean, ESPN's putting the lines up for these XFL games, and there's so many networks that have shows dedicated to sports wagering. So how has it affected the whole betting scene as a good dynamic, bad, or is it just kind of a wash? Like, what do you think of
where – Oh, I think it's definitely good. I'll give you two specific reasons. One, there'll be more as more states here in the United States legalize it. There'll be more places to bet, and that means more competition. And when there's more competition, there's usually better prices. So the prices of this minus 110, which is typical what you bet, you may start to see better better or lower juice or, you know, lower vig or whatever. Mm-hmm. From the competition. So the price may come down. So instead of having to win 52 point, whatever it is, 3%, you only have to win maybe 52.1%. You know, it might change that, which could be a huge deal. Secondly, you want a lot of participants because the more the general public, most people are not going to be successful bettors. And the more you can have people that are just casual bettors, it gives more opportunities for someone who's really locked in. So I think both those things are just great. The expansion of legalized betting and the normalization of it, talking about it, putting up lines, no longer having the stigma. Yeah. So anyway, those are my two big takeaways. How about your thoughts on that?
You know, I'm 100% with you. I'm in the generation of where I didn't get to see the birth of sports betting, you know, like the nitty gritty, golden day, the dark times, so to say, whatever you want to call them, you know, where you had to call your bookie over the phone and then you check your picks the next day in the paper. You know, right now, the way things are is it's pretty instantaneous. You get to know so much at your fingertips these days with everything, especially sports betting, which is something that's gained a lot more normalcy within our society. So I like it. I think it's going to continue to grow. We were talking a little off air here. We're both pretty much in the Midwest, but Iowa, you know, both being Midwesterners, you know, we were surprised that Iowa in our circumference of states and radius was one of the states that had it legalized.
Yeah. It's a very progressive state in many ways, you know, but I did not see the gambling thing coming first there, but they are, they're on board, and we are here in Illinois, although I don't think bookmakers are out yet, but it is legalized officially. And I'm just hoping the competition is there. I'm really worried, knowing Illinois politics, there'll be one provider and they will just juice it up crazy. So I don't know how great it's going to be, but I'm hoping they allow the competition. And we get multiple providers and multiple places you can bet and therefore better prices. So we'll see.
Absolutely. Well, just to transition on a little bit, you know, I want folks to know where they can give us, you know, some questions down the road if they have some more questions. So you're at Ball with Neil on Twitter, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And I am DALE007, and we are a part of Hoopball Gaming, at Hoopball Gaming. That's our motherboard of the Twitter page. So we would love any other questions, thoughts, or comments on processes as far as sports betting goes. So I'm going to talk real briefly about some real minor futures tickets that I looked at and took out here with some unorthodox stuff. One being the XFL. Have you watched much of this, or how much have you invested as far as your time in this?
I have not seen. I've seen some highlights. I've read some articles, but I've not actually watched much live.
Gotcha. I briefly talked about the Houston Roughnecks before the season started, and they were at plus 800 to win the whole thing. And now they have already dropped down to plus 185. They're 2-0, and they look really solid right now. And another team that I thought was going to be pretty solid as far as coming into the year just because of their talent pool, they have like two or three previous NFL running backs on this roster. But the LA Wildcats, they dropped from plus 400 before the season started down to plus 1500. They're 1-1 right now, but with a real solid defense. So I think if you want some juice on an XFL future ticket with a nice low risk long shot, LA Wildcats plus 1500 is the way to go. And then the MLB futures I really like right now is Chicago, the White Sox. I know you're in Chicago.
Yeah, the White Sox are going to be good this year.
To win their division.
Oh, interesting.
I like that. That was at plus 300. I put that in a couple days ago and really, really liked that pick. So, how do you bet futures? Do you like futures at all, Neil?
I love them for the NBA. Yeah. Every year I do, I try to I project every team win-loss total. And,
nice.
And I bet maybe like, I think this year I bet 8 of them.
Gotcha.
Those are the ones I'll do like a partial unit, I should say, because your money's tied up and I don't want to.
Yeah.
And so it'll be smaller bets. But yes, I do. I find like those are the easier ones to predict. Those are easy. Not, I would say easy to win, but it's easier to get like 55%, 60%
sure,
win
sure.
rate there as opposed to the nightly business. So.
And do you have any current futures on some team totals, wins?
Oh, yeah, I do. Right you know what? I should really look at that right now and see who I have available. I don't have my – okay, I know I have let's see. I had Miami over, which looks like they're going to hit.
Yeah, really good.
The one that I definitely lost is Philadelphia over. I thought they were going to win.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in second, so that's not going to pan out. I had the Knicks under – because it's the Knicks,
yeah.
So that looks pretty solid. Dallas, I think I don't know which way I went to Dallas. I'll have to double check. I had – I might have had the over – so this is a really, really, really bad one. I think I had the over in Golden State.
Yeah.
Which certainly isn't going to come out. Utah, might have had the over. The Lakers, I believe I had the over. And I think right now I'm sitting at like 6-2.
Gotcha.
But obviously, gotcha. Things could change as the season goes on.
Well, so far, sitting pretty.
So far, so good. So we'll see how it pans out.
What about the NBA championship? Do you do any stuff like that? Are you?
No. This year might have been a decent year to do one because it was so wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And just for fun. I didn't do anything on the NBA championship this year. I will probably – I'm going to look and see – I'm still a believer in Philadelphia. I want to see how bad their odds are, and I might lean into that. The other one would be the Clippers, but I bet their odds are probably too high at this point. Those are the two teams I like the most.
Sure.
Obviously, I do think the Bucks are going to win it, but there's no value left on them to bet. So,
right.
Stay away. How about you? On the
So funny you brought the Bucks up. I actually just got them at plus 300 like a couple weeks ago to win the championship. So I was anything over 150. That's what I was looking for. Just maybe that double money. And then my dark horse, one I really liked, and I've been watching a bunch of their games this year. But the Celtics, I got them at plus 1600 to win the championship. I know it's a long shot for a reason, but it feels better than others.
No, the Celtics are a very reasonable team to win the whole thing. I think they are going to be. Plus 1600, I think that's a very fair pick. And if they were to make it to like the Eastern Conference Finals, you could hedge at that point probably.
So
it'd be fine.
Yeah. Now, when is it too early to hedge? Is there an advantage?
Oh God, I think that's really up to you as a preference.
I don't think
it's ever too early. I don't think there's ever a right time, I should say. But I think as soon as you feel like you've locked in enough profit and you're no longer confident in your pick, I would hedge at that point.
Okay.
I think that's all personal preference at that point.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know some people that wait till they know what teams, say it's the conference finals and they know what possible four teams will be in there, then they'll hedge their original bet, so to say, or even when the finals are set.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I know people that do it completely opposite.
You definitely don't want to hedge when you will hedge and lose money.
Okay.
that is the only advice I can give.
Yeah.
If you hedge too early and you try to hedge against everything, then you will not get any profit. That would be the bad situation.
Hot take by Neil. Don't lose money betting.
Don't lose money, yes.
All right, Neil. Well, let's – you all right with transitioning over to some college picks and some, chatter about that realm of sports? I know we don't have a lot going on as far as betting going right now.
Mm.
So one of the games I wanted to start off with, you know how I love my Maction, and I can't do a disservice to that conference without bringing them up at least once.
You should, they should sponsor you.
I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
Yeah.
Just start a gambling page for the MAC conference.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Ball State going on the road at Buffalo. And I'll tell you what, these two defenses, this is going to – if you like defensive and physical basketball, this is some potential viewership for your likes. I'm going to take not a side, but the total. I like under 144. And the main reason is, starting with Buffalo, they are the third-ranked pace of play team, so the third fastest in the country. And then you have Ball State, who is 203rd in the country. So we've talked about my betting preferences towards, like, gear up or gear down. I like a team that has to slow the other team, the faster team, down, and maybe get them into some weird sets that they're not used to being in. And I think Ball State is capable of doing that because they rank in the top 100 of field goal percentage for their opponents, and they are 55 at opponents' three-point percentage. So defensively, I think Ball State can hang here with Buffalo. They also don't allow a lot of near-proximity percentage shots. They're 53rd in the country on that. And then conversely, their offense is terrible. Ball State's is. It's just – garbage. It's, you know, they're I think their highest offensive category that they're ranked in is 169, and that is potential quick points off breakaway steals, so the fluky stuff. And then Buffalo's defense, you know, they match up really well against some of the stuff that Ball State does do a little bit better. So I like the under of 144. I think it's gonna be a sloppy game offensively. And I think that both defenses are actually going to make a bit of a difference here.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I'll look into that.
So
I haven't gotten to Maction yet, so this might be a good time to jump in.
There you go. Well, this next one is a little bit more bigger scale. It's actually in your homeland.
Yeah.
Well, featuring a school from your homeland, Illinois, going on the road at Penn State. And this game I am taking aside. I'm going to go with Penn State minus 6.5. And my biggest reasoning is Big Ten home teams. I think they have like an 80% win percentage on the year and like a 78% cover percentage. So it's absolutely bonkers as far as what home teams do. I tried to fade them yesterday. Did not work out for me. I got cute and it did not go well. But Penn State matches up very well with this Illinois defense. You know, every category I'm looking at, Penn State has the offensive advantage. You know, they're top 50 in field goal attempt rate. They're 20th in field goal percentage. They're 74th in three-point percentage, mid-range percentage. They're top 35. They're top 15 in near proximity percentage. So they get the ball in the hoop, and they are efficient. They are the 17th most efficient team in the country. And the defensive numbers and metrics they have in their favor is staggering as far as their defense against Illinois' offense. So I think this is going to be a double-digit victory by Penn State. They are absolutely rolling. And not to mention Illinois also lost their leading scorer of – Ayu Dosunmu. He was putting in about 17 a game, if I'm not mistaken. So this is their second game without him. I look for them to still continue to struggle with scoring the ball. He was also a pretty good defender, so that hurts in more than one way.
Yeah, they've been on a tough losing streak too. I'm looking here at Illinois. I like the fact it's the second game without the star. Their team might just be deflated at this point. They're definitely not looking like they're going to make any postseason. At least the NCAA tournament, right? So,
right.
They might be giving up, and if that's the case, it's easy to get killed. So we'll see. I like the bet. Do you ever tease basketball? Because this is one I would definitely tease
Penn State. Yeah, I do. I've had a little bit of success on it. You know, those odds are a little less favorable. So I'm taking my lumps, but it's also fun. You know, for me, like I said, talking about trying to find the numbers in the market and the whole just kind of inners and outs of things as far as the sport goes. If I feel confident in a matchup and thinking that my projection as far as what a score will hold true within that tease bet, it also gives you double confidence. Like, okay, I knew how I felt about this game. That feels good that that happened. And then also winning money is never a bad thing. So, yeah, no, I like them here and there from time to time. You know, just kind of like typical rules and parlays. They're risky for a reason, but they do give it a little sauciness and some excitement on the card.
Yeah, when I feel like if it's a situation like you do, I think you're right. Penn State will probably cover, and it might be like an easy double-digit win, but I feel like they're definitely going to win this game.
Yes.
And if you tease them down, you're basically all you have to do is win by more than a bucket.
Yeah.
Right?
Win
by a bucket. So you're pretty much assured that. So
yeah.
I just don't know what other game to pair with it.
I've actually got one.
Okay.
You know, go back to the MAC.
Of course.
You know, it's why not? Yeah, so this team I'm about to talk about is actually a team I was going to kind of give a little hoorah for getting into the tournament. You know, I think they got a good chance of getting in there and then knocking out a, you know, middle of the road seed and winning one, maybe two games. But that's the Akron Zips. They are on the road at Western Michigan, and they are 8.5-point favorites. So Western Michigan looking like a home dog here, getting a lot of points. But Akron's 8-1 against spread as a road team. And I will give a little side of caution, you know, like I do for most of my picks. Western Michigan, you know, don't say I didn't tell you so, but they're 4-1 at home against spread in their last five. But these Akron defensive numbers that I'm looking at, they're going to smother this Western Michigan team, and it's not even close. It's every major category. They're almost 100 spots as far as the rating goes better than them. They are an efficient team. They both play at the same pace, so it's not like you're going to have major adjustments as far as pace goes. I look at Akron coming out and winning this game by a sizable number, maybe even more double digits. I'd say 10, maybe 11. This Akron team's looking really good. And for them to get in the tournament and have a chance at being a giant killer in the first round is very, very possible. They got a kid named Lauren Christian Jackson, and he ranks 12th in the country in opponent-adjusted win shares. So pretty much war in baseball, or wins above replacement. And the only kid that's above him in all the basketball is Obi Toppin, the forward from Dayton, who is at 48%. And he is actually a top five lottery pick looking prospect in this upcoming NBA draft. So I'm going to take lay the 8.5 with Akron on the road at Western Michigan. And then I'm going to throw a long shot out there right now and say that they win a game in the NCAA tournament.
Mm. Hey, speaking of Dayton, do you think they can make some serious noise in the tournament?
Yeah, you know, the Final Four odds just came out, and that was a great segue right there, Neil, because it kind of just pivoted us real smoothly along. The Final Four odds updated and came out here recently. And, you know, on one side of the table you have, and I just tweeted this out, but you have, you know, your favorites, obviously. Your higher, you know, your plus 150s, your 200s. And then on the other side of the table, you have teams at, you know, plus 400, like Michigan State, Auburn at plus 500, Butler plus 800. And, you know, I tweeted that out and said, I would not be shocked at all. And I'm pretty darn confident that two teams from each side of the table will be in the Final Four. And I would not be shocked if Dayton, you know, was one of those. They were on the left side of the table. I think they're at plus 300 or so. But some long shots I really like is Texas Tech at plus 700. I mentioned Butler, Auburn, and Michigan State. Butler's plus 800, Auburn's plus 500, Michigan State's plus 400. Michigan State's floundering right now, but still Tom Izzo coaching that team, and I look for them to get right on track, have a strong showing in the Big Ten tournament, maybe even win it.
Yeah, those are interesting bets. I've never bet, you know, I've done a bracket, of course, and I've bet on teams' games. So I've never gone on Final Four, making the Final Four bet.
So Dayton in the Final Four is not a bad one at all. I think I don't want to bet on it just because I want to see it happen and be happy about it and not you know, proverbially jinx it.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying there. I have to start doing some research on these basketball teams before I make the bet. But yeah, that's exciting, man. March Madness, just like 2 weeks away, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Selection Sunday is in 25 days. It's close. The conference tournaments are going to be fun. I love this time of the year. College basketball is the fun.
Yeah, I almost love conference tournaments as much as I like the NCAA tournament.
It's a bunch of little NCAA tournaments, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. And especially the conferences where you know only one team's going to come out of them.
Right.
Yeah, those are some of the most exciting games that you can watch all season. So.
Yeah, it's some exciting stuff right now. And for baseball fans, obviously catchers, pitchers reporting. If you're into golf, you got the golf tournaments heating up, some tennis. We're getting there. Hockey playoffs are coming up. And, we got some good NBA left. So we got some really awesome stuff to bet on. And the XFL now, so.
Oh, yeah, the XFL. We'll see if it takes off. It sounds like a lot of people are watching, so that's good.
Yeah. I think there's actually more fans in the same stadium that San Diego plays in for the XFL team than there was for the Chargers in any recent game.
Interesting.
It was pretty ruckus in there. A lot of people were having fun. And I think it's a good product so far. I mean, it's more than a stopgap. It's actually still competitive football. Unders have been a heavy trend. I think they're 6-3 for the first games that have been played, somewhere around there, 7-2, 7-4, something like that. But unders are definitely in favor right now. So,
Neil, you seem to have every league covered, which is
nice. I need to probably work more. That's probably the issue. But did you have any last parting thoughts as far as some more betting strategies or some stuff to look forward to once NBA gets going here?
No, I think you talk about trends in betting. The in-game is obviously the big trend, and I think that's going to become much more enjoyable and much more, for me, something I'm probably going to participate more in as I get more comfortable with it. I'm still not at the point where I'm really comfortable betting the game just yet. Mm-hmm. I think I'm comfortable, but my track record is not profitable, so I'm not comfortable. So
yeah.
I'm much better pre-game or future. So I'm looking forward to kind of getting better at that. But I think that's where the future is, right? Play-by-play.
Right.
So we'll see how that pans out.
It keeps getting more and more accessible, and it helps guys like us that want to fine-tune our skills and make it more enjoyable for winning and putting our knowledge out there.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's just more fun when you watch a game, right? You don't want to sit there. Like, if you bet a side before the game starts and your team's down by 30, you're not, like, out of it. You know what I mean? There's so many different ways to play the game still. So that's fun.
Yes. Well, here's to continued growth as far as sports betting and us being a HoopBall presentation. We are appreciative of everything that's happened so far, all the Twitter follows, the reactions, the onslaught of support. It's been great. We appreciate the listens, the likes, the reviews. Again, I am at DALE007, and this episode was shared with me by Neil Roshlani at Ball with Neil. Neil, say goodbye to the people.
Goodbye, people.
Goodbye, people.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.